I was going to say, remember how there's that story where Swami said somebody, he asked Matt once how long he's been his disciple. When Swami heard that life reading and he heard that he'd been exiled from the main society, that he'd gone off somewhere and gotten a small group of people around him, and he had tried to communicate his philosophy in music. And Swamiji thought, oh my God, how long have we been doing this, and do we never change, you know? Sort of half joking, but yeah, it's a little scary, isn't it? Okay, you were saying, where are we in this? Pull me in again.
And another, just kind of, where are we in this time? Because another part of it is that Master had very clear beliefs that he expressed. You can call them political, but for some people who come on this path, they're kind of shocked.
Oh, I try not to talk politics. I have to know people really well before I talk politics, because we don't fit. What you say is exactly right. And actually, Steve, what you say is really, really helpful, because that's exactly the kind of assumptions that we have to become conscious of. And I know over the many years when we have discussed many different issues, you know, but sometimes people's orientations remain the same. But Master said, I am a Republican. And I don't remember, to whom did he say that? Who can remember? He did say that. In fact, he said this was in the 50s or the early, the late 40s, but he wasn't in favor of FDR, and it was to some devotee who was very much of a Democrat, and twice Master said, I am a Republican. Yeah. And Master encouraged Truman to go, not encourage, Master put the thought into Truman's mind to go to the Korean War. I mean, that's not a pacifist action. So you just, like, you're neat. I mean, this is what Swami writes. You create a dogma in order to, you get a perspective, you try to make it clear, and then you define it exactly, and then later on you think that that's actually reality. He said it so well. You forget that you yourself created that to try to bring clarity at a certain moment to a certain reality. It is not reality. It's a definition you made. So we start a certain, since you're talking politics, we start a certain, down a certain line. Let's be generous. Let's take care of people. Let's help. You know, the government ought to. Somebody ought to do something. And so war is, beyond stupid. Somebody ought to do something. And then we just hold those. They become sentimental. We become sentimental about those in the sense that this is how I've always felt. This is what's right. This is the way to feel. And that's what that means in that sense. It's not like, it's not sentimental in that we become nostalgic about the good old anti-Vietnam War days when we used to sit in, although a group of us were becoming nostalgic about that not too long ago. You were there? Yes. Anyway, I found out some things about David I didn't know. He was in some pretty hot places at different points. But the sentiment of it is, this is the way I've always thought, so this is the way I'm going to keep on thinking, rather than really stopping and asking yourself, where am I now and why am I here? And the liberal political agenda, which with the pastors, with the local pastors, I finally actually found a way to say it, because it became very difficult, very awkward for me, because the biggest energy in the local pastors' association is very social service oriented. It's partly just, in any organization, if a few people have a lot more energy than the others, or a lot more, then they will dominate. So it's not, I think it is a majority, but it's definitely the most energetic and vocal people. But largely, it's just the orientation. And it is, with all due respect, and I would never say it there, but it's exactly what we say in the Festival of Light. The noble taper of inner communion burns low, though still lit on lower altars of good works. And it's not that that's bad, it's just the noble taper of inner communion isn't burning so brightly. So now what we're left with is that we have to try to do good. So we have a lot of very sincere people trying to do good, and they're not thinking like we think about the caste system, and in that, I think all of you understand that I mean that, in the progression of consciousness through different stages, and the karmic necessity of living through certain things, and they're just not thinking about any of that. They just look at suffering people and they're going to fix it. Now, there's really nothing wrong with that. You know, it's bringing out of many people that I associate with great dedication, service, generosity, concern for people. I finally found a way to answer it. I say, well, I guess I'm just more of a contemplative. And that actually, you know, I found a vocabulary that wasn't about karma, which really wasn't probably a good place to go because it's too complex. I couldn't explain it. And then, but there are others. I'm not the only one. A few others have said things that indicate to me that they do. They also see it a little differently. And that's the trend you have to buck. You just have to find a way to not denigrate what others are doing, but also not feel that you have to go along with it just because it's expected of you. You know, my politics are so much more Republican, and I don't know, they're not even Republican. This is not my world. I just see the whole thing so differently that I haven't voted in years. I just can't. I just don't know where to go. I can't figure out what to do. Once, about 10 years ago, there was some, and she was a woman, some candidate that I found so abhorrent, just so absolutely repellent to me. I don't remember her name. She did win. That I actually registered to vote against her. And I just went and voted against her and then came out. And she won, of course. I don't know why I disliked her so much, and thankfully I've forgotten her name. But there it is. But yes, we're not of it. It's not us.
What I wonder is, I know that we are in a transitional period,
mm-hmm.
and this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of it. It just strikes me as so curious because you talk about...
Well, that's what you asked. Where are we in this cycle? I think where we are is... Let me think about this for a minute. I think that we are in that respect, we're where we've always been, which is that everybody's living at a different level. And so I don't think that... I think that, you know, that desire to help others, but if you look at it from the point of view of self-realization, they're vicious, strangely enough. Because the concept of social service, not always, because Mother Teresa, of course, and people like her are different, much of social service and political activism is vaishya, and vaishya is the second level of evolution. I'm just saying, I know you know, but not everyone does, at which you have the belief that you can ease your suffering if you could just control the environment around you. And you begin to become creative and active and even selfless in certain ways, but the underlying motivation is often that I would feel better if I could control the environment around me. These poor, suffering people, I must do something about it. And so I'm going to try to do something about them. And it's often very disconcerting, even for devotees themselves, because as they move into the kshatriya level, where at the kshatriya level you begin to understand the only battle that's really happening is with me and my own consciousness, even though you've had all these values about the environment and politics and the poor and this, you find yourself unable to carry it out. I've even met people who were afraid to get spiritual because all their political friends, when they got spiritual, stopped being political. And they feel like they betrayed the cause. But when you begin to understand as a kshatriya that I have to change my consciousness, that all this angst and anxiety that I'm feeling about everything I see is not really about what I see, it's about the way I'm responding to it. And so then you start changing your own consciousness, and then you begin to think that maybe this planet is not just the result of human action. Maybe there's some other greater force at play, and then you interact with the planet from a different perspective, which often causes you to try to do different things. Like I often say to people, I am as much of a social activist as you will ever find anywhere. I am absolutely dedicated to creating change. But I just think that we start with consciousness. I'm not inspired to feed hungry people, even though I'm glad that somebody wants to, because they're just going to be hungry tomorrow. And what's making them hungry is consciousness. So if we work over here on consciousness, we're really working very directly with what's making them hungry. And if you want to feed them, then I'm just all for it. But I'm just not, I can't do that anymore. I fed so many hungry people and they just got hungry again. And they just kept behaving in ways that was going to make them hungry again. Swami once said very quietly, he didn't say it very loudly, after we watched a beautiful documentary of Mother Teresa, who is not feeding the poor. Mother Teresa is doing what Christ asked her to do. She's not even a kshatriya. She's a Brahmin. She's just doing what God asked her to do. She doesn't really care if it's the hungry or the dying or the dead. doesn't make any difference to her. She's just doing what Christ asked her to do. If he asked her to stop tomorrow, she will stop tomorrow and never think about them again. I mean, she has stopped altogether now. But when she was there, and people couldn't get that. When she would say that, they would just go blank. Because they just couldn't see what she was really doing. I am doing what Christ asked me to do. Zip. Doesn't make any difference. And that's the other way you go at it. And some clergy people do. They know they have a mission from God. But they're not helping the homeless. They're following their mission from God. It's very, very, very different. So some are Vaishyas, some are Kshatriyas, some are Brahmins. Depends on who they are and what they're doing. You can generally tell by their level of anxiety. Anger, peace. It's really pretty evident. And a lot of times you stop doing it because you find that you're just in knots all the time. You have to go be a Kshatriya. You have to get yourself unsnarled. But again, it's all in here. You have to come back to where is the center of it. This is not from the outside in. I had one more little idea, but I lost it. Okay. Does that answer it? The poor you will always have with you too. Remember, Christ answered it then. This oil should have been sold. Mary of Magdalene, just poured all that oil off out on Jesus' feet and wiped it off with her hair. I mean, that was. And Judas says, well, what an extravagant, foolish waste. You could have taken that and given it to the poor. Although, as they say, Judas didn't really care about the poor. But he also didn't understand that the poor you always have with you. This woman is giving her all to God, and this is how she understands. And that's why Jesus says, let it be. It's fine. She's doing exactly what she ought to be doing. And it's a very political situation, what he's really saying there. She spent all that money on devotion because it was inner communion for her.
And yeah. It's really like any other aspect of life where those of us who feel that devotion simply express it and live that way. And that's all. That vibration will be transmitted. Ultimately.
Right, because it is the answer. And, I mean, fortunately for us, we're in an ascending yuga. I don't think it's going to ascend all that fast, but I finally realized I thought it was going to ascend tomorrow. I kept waiting for it to get well. Recently, I've appreciated that I'm sure that I'll die before it gets good, and that's just fine. I'm very much more relaxed now. I was really quite tense for many years just waiting for it to get good, but it's not. It's going to take much longer, and even then, it's not going to be that good. So who cares? I mean, really, isn't that a dopey thought? But I've been holding it for years. Until Jyotish and Devi, quoting Swami Kriyananda from a book that I've read, said that Dwapara Yuga is one of the most insecure ages you can live in. Oh, wow, that's a different thought, isn't it? Because weapons of mass destruction can reach every corner of the earth, but consciousness is still a little gross. So as long as there's war all the way through Treta Yuga, it's not until Satya Yuga that war stops. And if you stop and just think about that for a minute, if the culture is stupid enough to make war, you're going to have a lot of trouble everywhere. For three of the four yugas, they're still making war. And it gets worse because they can blow everybody up.
And do.
So, folks, here we are. But what was it I read recently? Where did I read it? It must have been from Master. He said, yes, it was from Master. People are so afraid of accidents, but they don't realize that dead people don't have accidents. Meaning, once you've had the accident, it hasn't happened because it's over. You imagine it in a way that's different. Does that make any sense? It was such a funny phrase. I read it over and over, and he talked about being killed, like being afraid of crashing in the plane or the car. But if you are killed, it doesn't happen to you. Just before. The death blow is struck, your soul exits, and you're not dead, and you don't have the accident. Because you would have to be there to have it. I loved it. Can you follow it? The Master was so marvelous, just so untempered in the way he said things. Oh, my, my. Okay, I think that's probably enough for tonight. Okay, God bless you.
So next week I read three and four?
Just three, I think. We're reading...